The following presentation was recorded at the 2013 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
Okay, I think probably most everyone's in that's coming in. I think it would be very appropriate to start this session with a word of prayer. I've spoken to this several times, and it seems like the devil's not very happy when this happens, and I think we're addressing the apple of his eye, of the devil's eye, when we deal with this, because it's something that it's a tool that he uses in his kingdom very readily and very aggressively. And sometimes we as God's people are not very aggressive in combating that. So let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to you at this moment. Lord, I just thank you that your power is great, and no other power can come anywhere as close to it. Lord, as we open up this discussion about moral issues and purity, and Lord, I just pray that you would give us wisdom, that your spirit would work through us at this discussion and could go where it needs to go. And Lord, that we could hear from you and that you would give us direction. Lord, we do not have to be victims of the evil connivings of the devil. We can be more than victors through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Lord, we just commit this session into your hands. In Christ's name, amen. This is a subject that it's not always easy to talk about. It's a subject that many times school boards, teachers, parents, preachers, we know what the right answer is, but how to be practical, give teaching and direction, can be very difficult. Because it's not always as maybe as clean cut of because of the motives, the intentions, and all the little entanglements and the way things come about that the devil brings into this makes so it's a hard issue to address. My intention is I will be sharing a few things here, but then I would like to have a lot of open discussion to really look at, honestly, at what we're facing in our schools. And I start with a sharing personal experience, and it's an experience I'm very embarrassed about, but it might help us, might help break the ice here and open, get real with what we're facing. As a young boy, when I was entering my adolescent years, one of our teachers was a lady, and I became infatuated with her. And I guess I'm using that word correctly. Is there another? I think that's the correct word. And I started writing secret notes to her. And I would take these notes and I would put them under my pillow at night. And I'd wake up during the night and I'd get these notes and I would kiss this note. And you can see why I'm embarrassed to share this. But did you know things like that happen to your young boys in school? And maybe I'm the only person that ever happened to. I happen to know that I'm not. That there's others that have faced the same types of issues. Also, I went to school, and I'm sitting in school, and one of the boy students beside me kicks me a little bit and says, "Hey, look over here." Next thing I know, he'd open his zipper and was showing me things that I shouldn't be seeing. Do those things happen in our Anabaptist schools? I'm involved in a school in Mexico, a school that we started there for the orphanage. It was a very difficult journey opening up that school, and we got some kickback from the local community because most of our students had been going. We had around 20 students at the time, had been going to the to a Baptist local school, and it was a fairly conservative Baptist school, but a long shot from what we felt comfortable with. We pulled them out of that school, started a little church school there, and got along for some time, and the authorities were not happy with this, and they ended up shutting the school down and making all kinds of threats to us if we would not cooperate with them, shutting the orphanage and everything down. Well, we faced some difficult times there, and what do you do? Well, there happened to be another school that was closer, a local school, and they did not need, it was a much smaller country school, and so we went down and we talked with, well, we didn't have no choice. The officials came and said, look, this is, you either send your children to this school down here or we're shutting the whole orphanage down. What do you say? What do you do? We prayed about this and we said, we are not okay with those children going to that school, but if we might need a little bit of time to work through things here, so let us have a talk with the local school and see what we can work out. Thankfully, we had just come into vacation time, and so we had 2 weeks vacation to deal with this. Well, we went and we talked, spoke with those teachers. They had around 20-some students. Well, we had around 20-some students. And so we worked out a deal with them that we would provide one of the teachers in their public school, and they said they would accept that, and we could have somebody on campus all the time. So we did that, we started, but two or three days into this was not okay. And the higher up officials found out about this is not okay. And so next thing we know, our students are there and we can't have a teacher, and we're into this a couple months and we're trying to figure out what to do with this. And one day the students come back, the older girls, probably 13, 14 year olds, come back from school and want to talk to their house mom, the person, their caretaker. And here, some of the other older children had brought pornographic literature to school that day. And it happened to be, which we found out later was pretty frequent, that the teacher sometime didn't show up till middle of the day. And this was one of those days. So you had all these students at school, and no supervision, and pornography. Well, we say that wasn't an Anabaptist school. Thank God the Lord helped us to change things around. Today we have our own school again. We did have get a government certification, and he miraculously provided that. And so today we have, as far as we know, the only Anabaptist government-certified school in Mexico, something that was not supposed to be able to happen. But these are real things that we face. They're real issues that we face. Let's bring it back a little closer home. So what about these little boys that get infatuated with their teachers? I also know of another situation where the teacher got infatuated with one of the boys. A young girl teacher, and I forget what grade the boy was in, I think in eighth grade, and the teacher had to be laid off. It just fast became a problem. Why do these things happen? What can we do about these things? We do have hope. Our God-given hedge of protection is the purity of our parents, the purity of our teachers, and the purity of our leaders. So if we want to make sure that we have the foundation to deal with these issues when it comes to our schools, we first have to make sure that we have the foundation. We have to make sure that the school board, we have to make sure that the teachers, we have to make sure that the leaders in our communities are pure people. Because God has this hedge of protection that he puts around us. And if me as a school board member am not pure, I make a hole in that hedge. If you have a teacher in school that is not pure, he makes a hole in that hedge. It's an open door for the devil to come in and wreak havoc. What are we doing about this? When you hire your teachers, when we hire our teachers, are we talking about this? Are we asking very honest questions? When we bring a new school board member on, are we asking honest questions? Are we staying on top of these needs in our communities? If we do not address this on a community level, don't even try to address this in a school level. You'll never win. You'll never win. Brothers and sisters, if we keep that hedge of protection where it needs to be, a big part of the battle's won already. God is going to honor the prayers of the mothers and the fathers about the little children, about the older children that are going to school. Now, we understand clearly that we have two age groups in our schools. We have the pre-adolescent years and then the adolescents. And obviously the needs and the problems that we face with the pre-adolescent are different than once you get into the adolescent years. Let's talk about that for just a bit. In the pre-adolescent, many times these children are victims, not instigators. I was a victim at a very young age. I was molested as a five-year-old. And it was a problem. It made a problem for my life. And in school, there was a lot of filth in our school all the years that I went to school. That community eventually pretty much shut down, and it was mostly because of moral problems. There was moral issues going on every level in church, school. There was problems that were not being dealt with. My dad, in retrospect now, looks back to that community. He says, you know, we just believed the best about everybody. We never asked questions. We didn't do our due diligence. Everyone that was a part of that community today is much more alert if they weren't one of the ones that lost out. Much more alert and very concerned about what happens in our schools, what happens in our churches on this issue. So where does this problem start with our dear little children? They don't come up with this on their own. Or do they? You know, there's an instinct that God put within us, and there's sexual desires that God gives us, and those start waking up at a very early in our life, before we're come to the adolescent years. And these little children need direction from parents. And so if the parents have not already done their homework, beware, teachers, school board, you have a problem on your hands already, because little Johnny has not been taught, and he's going to bring a lot of problems to school. And let me tell you, one little boy in school that has not been taught correctly can wreak havoc amongst a lot of other students really, really fast. What kind of supervision are you giving during recess time? You know, things most times do not get so far out of hand where there's bad things happening right in the desk like it did when I was in school. Most of the problems that are going to happen are going to be in the restrooms and on the playground and behind the building, somewhere where they got away by themselves. What kind of supervision are you giving? What kind of an awareness is? Mostly what I would like to do is stir up the awareness and to help you understand, when you have a first grader coming to school, are you thinking about this? Are you aware of this? And you know, many of our first grade teachers are young ladies. Some of them not so young, and they're probably wiser on this. But you take a 18 to 25-year-old young lady, probably not the most prepared to be discerning to know where little Johnny is on this issue. You need school board that is there and is able to speak about these things, talk about these things, talk with the parents. Do the parents know where the student is on this issue? Are the parents aware of what's going on? What's this? What are these students exposed to? And with today, with the media that we have readily available, if you have family children coming from families that have media used very openly in their home, make sure that you know what they have access to. It's amazing what can come and how quickly those things can come into a school and cause a tremendous amount of damage. These little children, it's not the teacher's job to educate these little children on, you don't try to peek in the bathroom door. You don't both go into the same stall at the same time. You don't, it should not be the teacher's job to teach these types of issues. However, the teacher needs to be aware and the teacher is the one that's responsible during those hours. The teacher needs to be prepared and be willing to discuss issues with the parents if there is concern there. There should be teaching given by the board to the teachers to prepare them to deal with these issues so that they're alert, they're aware of what's going on. There's a lot of little clues that you can look for. A little boy, a little girl that just seems disturbed. It's a red flag. Check things out. Find out what's going on. A little boy, first grader, second, third, fourth, fifth grader, that has been molested and is, or maybe is the instigator now because he's the one that's spreading it now. That little boy is going to have a disturbed look in his eyes. Our eyes are our windows to our soul. We'll talk about that a little more here in a bit. Look at the eyes in those children. Do those eyes look pure? You can tell most times. Study the character of that child. Is that child evasive? Is that child, is his gaze shifty? Will he not look you straight into your eyes? If he cannot stand direct eye contact, that's not a guarantee that there's this type of a problem, but it's at least one little thing that you make a mental note of. It should cause you some concern. A little child that is free from all this, there's just something about the beauty of the innocence of that little child that you can pick up on if you're thinking and you're aware of what's going on. Watch for the behavior of that child throughout school, if you're a teacher, of, are they the child that constantly is running off behind the buildings with other children? Oh yeah, they weren't doing nothing bad. He was just, you know, wanted to show him a book or something, you know, maybe it was good. But if it's a habit, if it's clicks, if it's those type of things, just little red flags. I'm talking about early signs that you can start reading that start coming up on the radar. And some of these things are difficult because the last thing that you want to do as a teacher is to be so suspicious about everybody. If you create a culture in your classroom where I don't trust anybody, I think all of you are into all kinds of bad things, you're not going to be a very good teacher. So how do we bring those together? I'm asking these questions without answers, by the way, and I'm wanting some feedback from you here in just a bit. Now let's go to the older age group. These children might have been a child that was innocent, totally innocent, never been molested, a child that is just, it's been good for this child. Starts coming into the adolescent years. And there's things this child starts struggling with. Blessed be the father and the mother that's walking with this child through this time. It's going to make your job as a teacher very easy. It's going to make the job of the school board very easy because they're going to get the direction that they need. Those of you that have a Bible, turn with me to Titus 2, verse 5. I want to read verse 5, and then I want to come back into the context and read verse 1 through 8. Verse 5, yes. To be discreet, chaste, and I'm going to stop right there. The rest of it does not so much apply. But the context here, let's get it. Verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women And if I may, for the sake of this discussion, bring it down to the really, really young women. Be sober, love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. If this is supposed to happen in the age group that it's talking about here, most certainly it's going to have to start with our children. You cannot start teaching soberness. You cannot start teaching how to be discreet and how to be chaste, which is the two main words that I want to pull out for us here today. You can't start teaching that at the age of 17, 18, 19, 20. Those things you have to start teaching those as parents at a very, very young age. The dictionary description that I like the most for the word chaste was pure in thought and act, modest. Are we teaching our young girls and our young boys how to be chaste? Are we talking to them clearly about the things that they're facing once they're in their adolescent years and helping them understand how to control their passions and how to hold themselves back and how to guard their eyes? Are they discreet with their eyes, with their body language, with their speech? The word infatuate simply means to inspire with a foolish or extravagant love or admiration. In our adolescent students, how can we tell early signs of what's going on here? That there's something happening between a boy and a girl. And we need to also be aware, it might be happening between one of the students and one of the teachers. And the teacher can be completely innocent of what's going on, or at least completely unaware of what's going on. In my case, I know that the teacher was completely unaware of what was going on. It was my problem. But there was some behavior that teacher had that did not make it easier for me. And another situation that I know of, It was reversed. It was a girl. I think she was in 7th or 8th grade. And she was infatuated with her teacher, a man. And this man, from what we knew, would have been, there's just nothing there. He was a pure man. So this seemed like this was a one-sided problem. But the problem was there. And how did it start showing up? We were having... Now I give it away. I said we were having. sometimes we need to talk bluntly about the things that happen. And yes, we have problems at our schools too. We were noticing that this student was requiring a lot of attention from the teacher. And it seems like some of the things just didn't really make sense. And it started dawning on me that I think this student wants to spend time with this teacher. And some red flags went up. And later, there's some things that was discovered otherwise, similar to my experience, there was a dead giveaway. There was a big problem here. As a board, we had to address the parents, talk with the parents, and work through this. The parents were appalled. They had no idea something like this was going on. Thankfully, the parents were very cooperative. And we worked together, and we were able to redeem the situation, and the young girl got help. And I think that the help that she got is going to bless her for the rest of her life. I hate to think what would have happened if never anything would have been done about that. Had that not come out, had there not been awareness, had there not been concern, and that would have never been dealt with, what would have happened? Proverbs 4:25, reading in another version, says, keep your eyes focused on what is right. and look straight ahead to what is good. When we started our high school program, what time does this session go to? 11, okay. When we started our high school program, we talked about it that there's a common concern out there, and it should be a concern, that some schools stay away from high school just because of this problem. And we were fully aware that if anything ever shuts our high school program down, it'll probably be this issue right here. And so we made a resolve as a board and as teachers and in working with our pastors that we're going to address this and we're going to try to educate ourselves on this. We're going to be honest with this and we're going to talk honestly with each other about the problems that we're facing in our school and try to be prepared for this. I'd like to get a raise of hands of how many here are involved in a high school. How many of your schools have a high school? Okay, there's a lot of high schools. I take that probably the majority of here, by the raise of hands, here have a high school. And so dealing in high school, the problems that you can face there are quite different than the problems that we're talking about that you can have in grade school because you're dealing with adolescents. Hopefully we're dealing with that we're hiring teachers and we're giving instructions and we're thinking about the teachers that we hire on this aspect, especially for our high schools. You can do a lot of damage very quick if you have a teacher that does not know how to control his passions or her passions. Let's look at three primary ways that things can go wrong very quickly without anybody really knowing what's happening. And when I first come across the reality of this, and I started making a habit of really controlling my eyes. And I'm not talking about controlling my eyes and making sure that I'm not looking at bad pictures, pornography, and that type of thing. I'm talking about what happens in eye contact between male and female. And now this can be a very awkward thing to talk about, but I'm assuming that at least most of you men and probably most of you ladies here, at some point in your life, you've experienced where your eyes met with the opposite gender and something went zzz, and you weren't sure what it was, but you knew that something wasn't right. If you stop there, praise the Lord. Unfortunately, there's many grown men that feed on that. Did you realize that it's possible for you, in a family setting, you might be having cell groups, it might be a religious occasion, and there can be a man and a woman in that room that do not belong to each other, enjoying each other's company through their eyes. Make eye contact, and it's that same eye contact for those of us that are married, that when you were courting and you looked at each other, it made your heart go flip-flop. That is a problem that exists amongst men and women, and nobody really wants to talk about it. Is that happening with our teachers? Is that happening with our leadership? Is that an issue? Our eyes are powerful tools. We speak volumes. We need to be discreet. We need to be chaste. Our bodies were made in such a way that we put off a sexual electricity. It's the attraction that's supposed to be there so I can attract my wife. And we talk about it in the animal kingdom much more freely, but this session is not about the animal kingdom, it's about people. And how we relate with our eyes, how we deal with what we receive from other people's eyesight and what we give back is something that we need to take very seriously. It's something that we need to teach our teachers to beware, be careful. A teacher can be making inappropriate eye contact with high school girls in school, can be taking his eyes without really thinking about what he's doing and going up and down her body, and that girl knows what's going on. We need to be careful. Our teachers need to understand what's going on. We can have high school girls that they don't know how to deal with their emotions. They're craving this love and this acceptance, and there is a certain part of that love and acceptance that's correct for it to come from the teacher. There's another part of that, the only place that she should be getting that from is from her dad. There is a proper relationship that happens between a dad and a daughter that needs to be in place. If that relationship is not the way it's supposed to be, I pity you, teachers. You've got a problem on your hands. And she's looking for this now. She's trying to find this. And you as a teacher somehow have to deal with this. The body language that we give, how we carry ourselves. And then, of course, our speech. Since that one can be heard, probably not where the problem starts, but it can get to where the problem is. You're teaching biology in school. You're talking about the body parts. What type of language are you using? You're talking about the reproductive system. There's some things that need to be talked about at school. How are you talking about it? What's the tone of your voice when you're talking about these things? What are some proactive steps that we can take? Should the board be providing teaching? Should the teachers be communicating with the parents at early signs of this? I would like to spend the remainder of our time here in open discussion. I would like to hear from you what your experiences have been. I know I gave you quite a load to think about there, but please open up. Let's be honest about what we're facing here. Let me put a question to you. Are we as a school thinking appropriately that the board should be giving the teachers instruction on these matters? Oh, wow, we don't even know that. That's exactly where I wanted this question to go. How do you deal with that? So you have an all-male board, and maybe you have one male teacher and you have three female teachers. How do you deal with this? I mean, let's just get real. Does the board have separate sessions with each one of those? And so you have this lady come in the room, you have this three board members giving this talk to this lady?
Most times the board members have wives.
There you go. Most times the board members have wives. We need to involve our wives. Does anybody have any practical experience with this? I would love to hear from you.
We have several young sisters that teach, but we also have a seasoned sister, married sister, that teaches. And as a board, when something comes up that one of our girls needs to be talked to, we use her pretty heavily. I don't know what bondage that puts her under, but she's a blessing.
Amen. Very well. Any other input? Yes, Jonathan.
Question. So I have a burden about some of these things. I brought it up, and the fingers got pointed at me that I'm the pervert.
That's sad. That's sad. There's a lot of homework to be done there. In the environment that you're in, you've got even a bigger challenge to overcome that. So how do we deal with this? Jonathan has a concern about this. He brings this concern to, did you bring it to the school board or the parents or who?
School board.
Now the school board just thinks he's a pervert. His mind's going where it shouldn't go. This is real life. What do we do about this? What advice do you have for Jonathan? Ernie.
You started, you mentioned that this is a topic the enemy of our souls is very concerned about. And as much as we would like it to just go away at first, when we first talk about it, probably won't. And it's going to be something that we're going to have to pray and fight against. Maybe break it.
Very true. Very true. Jonas.
We tend to be reactive. Hope that everything will go okay until a problem arises, and then it's always an awkward situation. I think the one thing, you know, whole presentation that strikes me is the eye, teaching about the eye, and if there are things, we know that we don't want to, quote, teach sex education as the world does with all the details, but that actually creates a more unhealthy interest. But this idea of chaste, not prudery in the sense that you are too extreme. But the chaste use of the eyes and simply teaching children how, at a young enough age when it's they can maybe understand it, but it hasn't really been a problem yet. And just teaching it, not making a big deal out of it, you're teaching it. And when things are taught appropriate age, like people that grow installed, a little of that at the right time to go a long way.
Amen.
Trying to be reactive.
Mm-hmm. Once there's a problem and you're trying to fix it, it's a way different battle at that point. Okay, very good. Any other, what are you facing? What is some real life situations that you're facing, questions that you have? Needs to be talked about.
We talked about men relating to, or the school board relating to the women. But I think it's also important for us as a school board relating to men, even possibly seasoned teachers. I know of an instance where there was a prominent pastor. Also a school And I don't know how, I don't know many details, I don't know how that got started, but that's very sad. And one of the signs of how that got picked up, because the child did not want to go back to school, and they didn't know why. And so finally, it just came out. And yet the child was protecting, wanting to protect the teacher.
It's amazing how that works.
And so there's a caution for all people, regardless of young or old.
It's not a battle that the teachers and the board is going to win alone. By no means. It's a battle that is a brotherhood, the community together we have to work at. Very true. Yes?
One of those areas where, with the world around us getting increasingly polluted and it's out in the open, we can't necessarily assume that just continuing our practices will. We may need to be very proactive in parent teacher meetings, teaching parents with young children. And the church has to pick it up on this and not expect the school to.
Need some change to maintain stability. Very true. Did you have your hand up?
I want to just reemphasize or reinforce your comment about the father's relationship with daughters. About 2 weeks ago, I was assigned a week of meetings at a school, a high school. And one of my requirements was to interview all the high school students. And I took my wife along for the interviews because I didn't want to interview girls.
Very appropriate. So, mm-hmm.
Okay, that number one is one thing that should happen. Mm-hmm. When we're working in across the opposite gender, and I felt that was a huge asset. But I was blessed with about three or four girls. I asked them the question: if you had a deeper issue you'd like to discuss, who would you go to, your mother or your father? About three or four of them said their father. We have the idea that mothers are maybe the person who that happens to. And I think there's a legitimate part of that. Mm-hmm. But I think us men sometimes aren't aware of our impact on our daughters.
And a huge importance right there for the fathers to be pure. If you are not a pure dad, you will not be able to work appropriately with your daughters on that. And there's dads that have told me, says, I don't believe what you're saying because dads... they need to be reserved with their daughters. And that's true. But he said, I've been told I don't talk to my daughters about anything like that, because it's just not safe. And if we are not pure men, we will not be able to give our daughters what they need. We will make them feel perverted. Well, the time's here to close. So we'll go ahead and close, but let's really keep this in prayer, because this is a serious issue in our communities, and we can get everything else right, and this is not an issue that you can throw money at, and this is not one of those issues. This is a foundational issue. If we can have all our programs and we can have all our other things right, but if we don't have this issue taken care of, then the foundations aren't there. Thank you. You've been a great group to interact with.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.